Man, I'm kind of a crabby guy, aren't I? Dang, there's a lot of things that kind of trigger my crabbiness. I'm going to be like Clint Eastwood sitting on the front porch with a shotgun.
Please bless the refreshments to give us strength in our bodies.
Hello and welcome to Bless the Refreshments, where normal people have normal conversations about the gospel, making it way more fun and interesting to be a member of the church. Today we're discussing the SEC's fining of Ensign Peak, the investment arm of the church, for disclosure failures and misstated filings. Then we review Season 3 of The Chosen. If you haven't seen Season 3 of The Chosen, but plan to, you might want to pause the episode and give it a watch. If you're new to the show, we're big fans of The Chosen, but you've got strong feelings about this season. Hope you enjoy. Okay. Do we want to, before we talk about Season 3 of The Chosen, do we want to talk about the SEC?
We can talk about it one way or another, but like at the end of the day, like it's kind of dry, right?
Yeah.
And they paid a fine and now it's like done.
Yeah. I think if we mention it, it's just going to be mentioned how not big of a deal it is.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know it will go towards people saying the church needs to be more transparent with their funds. Name me any company that's transparent with their funds. That isn't a publicly traded company. Any NPO.
This would be a lot different if like the quorum of the 12 were like rolling in it just from being paid from the church, like getting paid multi-millions of dollars. Like,
yeah, we've talked about that.
If they've got money, they make it in their professions like everyone else.
Right. Exactly.
Gordon B. Hinckley is like the exception to that, right? He worked for the church his whole life, but he wasn't rolling in it.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know. I could get if it makes you uncomfortable, but it's not a big deal to me. Base your faith on Jesus Christ. He'll work it all out. If there are mistakes, they'll be sorted out. And that has nothing to do with your faith. So
there is a ledger kept in heaven that doesn't have mistakes. So
bring me right down there, Tyson.
It won't have the mistakes that one of the three of us made. Right. Let's go on to the main theme of this episode then, which is Season 3 of The Chosen. If you haven't watched Season 3, spoilers abound. If you care about the show at all and haven't watched Season 3, sorry, you might want to pause it. What's so funny?
What are we going to spoil?
Everything?
Everything? We're going to talk about the episodes.
We're going to talk about the seasons, but it's like there's no like big twist or anything, right?
There's a lot of stuff that isn't in the Bible that happened, which I think, and we'll get to. Spoiler.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. We're going to talk a lot about that, actually.
So, yeah. What are your guys' feelings about Season 3?
Can I say this to start off?
Uh-huh.
So, what is Dallas's big catchphrase that he keeps talking about? Get ready for different. Let me say, I was ready for different. And I think I got different for a little while, but I'll say Season 3 is getting to be the same as every other TV show that is produced. And I've got a belief, and you guys probably disagree with me about this. I get a lot of pushback, especially nowadays, on this thought that I've had. But TV is inherently really bad. Even TV shows that start off good will eventually devolve into really bad TV. I just think it's the nature of the beast. I've yet to see a TV show that is good throughout. It eventually devolves into misery. Like, you just like, why am I watching this? And I have to keep watching it because I've already invested. It's like the sunk cost fallacy, right?
Yeah, right.
So, like, okay, so I just got to see how it ends. But you do that for like three seasons and you can't figure out why you're still watching it. And then you get to the end and you're like, why did I do that? I feel like that's starting to happen. Like this season, so much of what happened this season is like, why are we just like devolving into dumb TV drama stuff? I don't understand.
Have you, just as a precursor, have you watched an entire series start to end? Or which ones have you done that?
Burgess knows one at least. Lost. You make fun of me for Lost.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
So I've watched Lost. I'm pretty sure I watched all of 24. I don't watch a lot of TV. For this reason, I don't watch a lot of TV. But what about you guys? Do you guys stick it out on TV series, or do you have the discipline to only watch it when it's good?
I watched all of Breaking Bad through, but I think that's one that I think is the exception to your rule, because I think they ended it after 5 seasons, and I think they ended it at the perfect place. They could have stretched it out and made it boring, but they ended it at the end of the character arc, which was perfect.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think Better Call Saul did the same thing. I don't think it's as good as Breaking Bad, but I think it's still really, really good. Mm-hmm. And I think they ended at the right time, even though there were a few episodes that might have dragged a little bit. But I mean, West Wing is my favorite TV show of all time. I've seen every episode maybe 10 times, but it does. Their season 5 isn't great. It's the first one where Aaron Sorkin, who's my favorite writer, he left. But then 6 and 7 are fine. But the first 4 seasons are incredible.
I do agree with you, Tyson, in that they're like TV, because they don't start with the end in mind. Generally speaking, they're always riding to the next season because they're not sure if they're going to get picked back up. TV in general. So that lends to bad seasons.
Yeah, because it's always until you run out of money. Like, okay, like, oh, you're going to pay us another, $100 million to do another season? Yes, we'll do that. We're going to do that until you tell us no.
See, but I also think that many times, like the long running series, they start running out of ideas, or they start repeating ideas.
Right.
Right. They run out of ideas before they run out of money.
Yes. And maybe that's why when I find a series that I like all the way through, it's remarkable to me. Breaking Bad, definitely. I genuinely like The Good Place, though. Season 3 does dip for sure. Yeah.
Back to The Chosen. The interesting thing about The Chosen is, here's why I had hope for The Chosen. I'm not saying I'm like totally lost hope in them, but it's flailing, right? The reason I had hope for The Chosen is because they had a very set plot that they're working from, right? Mm-hmm. And so they've got a fixed beginning and a fixed end. Now, is there a way around that? Or is there a way to weasel around it? Sure there is. But to me, like, I thought that, like, look, this is a project that has a very set scope.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just got to figure out the best way to tell the story. And to me, that was a strength. And, constraints are good for artists. They work well in constraints. But here's my big, big gripe with this season so far. Watching the episodes, you would think that they didn't have much material to pull from, because they're making up a whole bunch of stuff that is irrelevant, doesn't matter, doesn't add to the story in order to fill time. And I'm wondering, like, why? Why are you doing that? Because it's not that interesting. It's taking away time to put in stuff that's actually in the Bible.
And it's interesting that you say that they're doing it to fill time. So time it's been a big head scratcher for me for this season. I put on my math hat for this, so I have some numbers that I crunched. Season 1, the average episode length was 47 and a half minutes, with the longest being an hour, exactly, mm-hmm. 60 minutes.
Yeah,
right.
Season 2, only a little bit longer, was 50 and three quarters minutes, okay? So 51 minutes, with the longest being 64 minutes. And my favorite episode of the whole series was only 37 minutes. Episode 3 of season 2. Only 37 minutes.
This is a good episode. It's a real good episode.
Yeah. Yeah. This season, the average episode was 67 minutes long, with the average being 100 minutes. Or no, with the longest being 100 minutes.
But that's the thing, is that 100 minutes is actually ticking up the average, right?
Right.
Because that was, yeah.
But still, none of them, like, there wasn't one less than 59.
Right.
I was wondering if a distributor, or I'm pretty sure it's the movie theaters, like, they want to put these out in theaters because they make a lot of money, and sure, people like to go see them and stuff, but like, they make a lot of money in the theaters. I'm wondering if the distributors want to be like, look, if you're going to put these in the theaters, they have to hit 2 hours,
to be longer.
They have to be longer, and they needed to fill it. And it is annoying that they're not adding stuff from the Bible. Like, I'm not as serious about it as you are, Tyson. The thing that frustrates me is that they're filling their time with stupid stuff.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, stuff that, like, doesn't really matter.
And the biggest sin of this season,
nice,
was so much talking. There was talking, and their strength, that one of the things that I loved, that I wanted to read their screenplays from the first two seasons, were how well that they balanced showing, not telling, telling us what we needed to know, but then showing, like, but then just showing us the story.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, they, the first season is, this is such a hard thing to do when you're writing, is to have events that don't really relate to each other at the beginning build up to this culminating, like, oh my gosh, moment. Right. Like episode one, when Jesus healing Mary, was the culmination of everything that was leading up to that. Even with the things that didn't matter, the right. things that didn't relate to Mary, everything led up to that point, and it was incredible. The Shabbat, they were showing different scenes, and then it ended with all of them celebrating Shabbat in different ways. Season two, episode three, my favorite, all the arguments and everything led up to that moment of Mary washing Jesus's feet. Like, everything led to this climax, right? And it's really hard to do that well. And I thought they did it so well. Season three, it was so frustrating to watch because they didn't do that in most episodes. Most episodes were like, they had these B and C and D stories that they would like go in a circle within the scene. Like, there was one scene, but then they didn't relate to anything else.
Right.
What was it? Episode two, where I think this is a great example of how it went with everything else. There was an episode two where little James was talking to Jesus about his deformity or whatever it is. And, you know, you saw him having struggles with it and stuff, but then they have this very emotional dialogue, Jesus and little James. And it's fine. However, if little James had learned that lesson, if they had shown him learning that lesson out in the mission field, learning it on his own, it would have been such a better impact. Like, the message was like that people need to see him healing, like see somebody with his deformity out there healing. Right.
Right.
And that's where his growth is going to come from. If he learned that out in the field, that if they had shown that, the impact would have been tenfold what it was. And it's like, and I remember seeing it, it's like, oh man, they, you know, Amy and I were talking about it. It's like, they totally missed an opportunity. Like, it was a fine conversation, but it's like, they missed an opportunity to make that great. And then they just kept doing it. There was so much talking about stuff. And like, they were just trying to fill this runtime with talking. And it's like, well, I don't remember what it was with like the Egyptian woman and Mary sitting in that room and just talking and talking and talking and talking. Right, it's like, holy crap, tell us the story or show us the story. Don't freaking tell it to us in a room. So boring.
Well, and the interesting thing about little James, because I agree with you on that, but apparently they didn't think it worth the time. They could have spent the whole third episode just on the missions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They could have done that. They decided, oh no, we've got to do that in like 5 minutes. Right? They just did like music over black and white, kind of weird.
It was a montage, right? For sure.
And they're like, no, we just gotta gloss over this and get to the good stuff, which is apparently like soap opera, like marriage problems and like and the disciples bickering one with another and all that stuff. Apparently that's really interesting and missionary work is not. To me, it's just like, there's so much interesting stuff that you can say, even if you are not taking it directly from the source material, if you want to embellish, there's things you can embellish that are actually substantive and not just like daytime soaps. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought it was weird how Simon and, oh shoot, I can't remember his wife's name.
Eden.
Yeah. How there was kind of the storyline of, when were they going to do it when he got back? I thought there were some scene, like there were some things that the season did well. I really liked the scene where Jesus goes back to Galilee and did the reading. And I thought it was really interesting the way they built tension around people who knew and were aware of Jesus from a young age. I thought that scene was so good and so powerful.
So here's the thing that I think that episode brought to the forefront, because mostly I did like, that's one of my favorite stories in the Bible, is when he's in his hometown in the synagogue proclaiming he is the Christ. Mm-hmm. I think there's so much in there that's great. Here's one of the things that I think I'm having a little bit of this, I think is great, but I think they're all in on it, and I think it's a mistake. They want Jesus to be cool. And so, like, they're all about cool Jesus to the detriment of the times when he really needs to be messianic, let's say. But every time I watch this, when he says some kind of off comment, when he's like making a really substantive point, I'm like, oh, they just had to make sure and remind us that he's cool Jesus.
And are you talking about when the guy's like, he said only he can save us, and Lazarus said, he didn't say that, or he didn't use those words, and Jesus is like, it's what I meant.
Yes. Yes.
I actually that kind of stuff. I thought that was funny.
I'm sure a lot of people do, like, but yep. To me, like, there's a time and a place for it, and they just play that card over and over and over again.
Hmm. So here's what the show has become for me. It's become a boring show with a few great scenes scattered in.
Yeah.
One of the scenes I loved when they healed the blind woman that has been in the show for all the seasons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Like
that was a good scene. It was a good scene.
There are some storylines in that episode that scene could have been the culmination of that episode, right? Sure. That could have been the finale. They could have taken a very broad at the beginning, like a very broad subject or like healing thing, which they started to, like, they had that whole group there of Jesus healing people, right? It wasn't that, I think that was in the same episode.
It was right after. Yeah, it was right before that. Right.
Right. But they could have done something like that where it was like super broad and general, and then brought it like, and the episode slowly gets more and more personal. And then he heals these two people that we've come to love already, these two characters, mm-hmm. but they didn't. Yeah. There was all these like stupid storylines here and there. And there was a, what was it? It was the final episode where we didn't even see Jesus until like the 42 minute mark. And I don't know why I think, and see, this is why I think they did it for theaters, why they packed in the feeding 5,000 and the walking on water in the same episode.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. But not only the walking on water, there's another thing about the walking on water. So they not only just did the walking on water in one episode, they conflated two water scenes that are each really good. And they're like, no, mm-hmm. we don't have time to do them both.
Right.
We've got to do them together.
To be honest, I probably would have done the same thing. I probably would have put them together. But I wouldn't have done a whole lot of other stuff they did. But
we wholly missed. Like, carest thou not that we perish?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
And but we did have time for Peter to have a whole like diatribe out on the water about something that probably didn't happen.
Yeah. And see that, I don't mind that it didn't happen. I mind all of the like they spelled it out for us the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, Peter learned a lot in that scene in the Bible. Right. That was a big teaching moment for Peter. And I don't mind them giving a backstory that led to it. It's just like, they didn't have to talk that much. We get it. We got the lesson already. Just let the scene happen. You know, he doesn't have to, like, the writers, they don't have to like spell it out for us on, like, he's on the water
all the time.
Like, yeah. And saying like, no, this was to make you grow. And it's like, okay. Yeah. Okay. That we understand that, like, don't just, yeah. It's almost like they just have to fill time. And so don't cut anything out. These are like how second drafts of scripts read. They're very like bloated, right?
Right.
And then like on the subsequent drafts, you cut stuff out that you might like the stuff, but you got to like, you throw it out because it doesn't add to the story, or you find another way to like show it rather than like have 20 minute scenes of people talking. You just show it. They did the same thing in the Christmas episode. That's why I hated the Christmas episode. The actual episode they had was just a bunch of talking. And I was like, they probably just wanted to throw it out there in the theater and whatever.
You know? I like to say this too. And again, some of this is okay. Like I don't expect anything to be perfect, but there is a heavy dose of presentism and present social context being overlaid onto the Bible story. Like, these interactions are highly modern. They are not historical, right? I'm sorry. In a lot of these scenes, men and women are not interacting together this way.
Yeah.
Like, it's, this is a modern soap with like Bible plot. And to me, like, that misses an opportunity to really show, they do show some things, but a lot of this stuff is just not, you're not really getting the essence of what these folks were going through when you do that. And there's things that they're not developing that actually would be interesting to speculate on, like the Roman political, you know, interest. They spent very little time developing that. We got a little bit of it, but not much. And but also you've got the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees that we're not spending a ton of time on. You see Shmuel for like 10 seconds in this season. And the last time you see him, he's like, he's having this really weird conflict that he doesn't seem to have up until the moment he gets there.
Right. They should have spent less time with Simon and Eden and more time
With Shmuel. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I agree. It seems as it seemed so out of the blue that while he was doing this, I said, wait, I don't understand. Because when that scene happened in the trailer, I was like, wow, Shmuel is going to have this incredible, arc and journey for him to be so conflicted when he talks about. There was no buildup for that at all.
Yeah.
His counterpart, what's his name? Yusuf has, Yusuf. I feel, has that journey, but not Shmuel. Like, we barely see him. I like that Peter was in this weird, like, they took Peter through this journey of doubt and pain. But you're right. I don't know if I liked the way they did it. I thought it was interesting, again, when they were feeding the 5,000 and Peter said, look, if he wants to solve it, he will. Because I feel like that is a trial that many people will go through when everyone else, like when miracles are happening to other people, but not to yourself. I think that's a very relatable feeling. I like the idea that they're putting these characters through hard things, and it's hard for them to believe. I just didn't think the execution was all that great.
It was terrible. It's terrible execution. Right. They were like, that's why there were some great scenes, because there were some great ideas. But most of the trials and the resolutions were talking. They were not shown, you know?
Maybe that's what I liked about this season too. There were really powerful moments. The scripture reading that Yusuf does with Eden, I thought was wonderful. That the theme of how great is our God. I was so high on that scripture. The week I saw that, I was like, that's really great. And I like studied that Psalm over and over again. I thought that was great. I'm glad we're having this conversation because I generally liked season 3, but I think as we talk about it more, I liked parts of season 3. And this is, to me, what was the weakest of the three for sure. But I liked when Christ is calling them on missions and they're really apprehensive about it, because I felt that was very relatable. That was a really relatable scene. You know, they're called, and it's not like they've been raised in the gospel with Jesus. You know, this is something that's very new to them. To have Jesus say, these are the things you're going to do, to believe that you could actually do them, I think was, again, they portrayed that very, very well. But I think you're right. I think I liked parts of season 3, not season 3 as a whole.
Like, there were some good things. So the woman with an issue of blood, I thought was quite good. You know, raising the girl from the dead, I thought was a good scene with some decent, Pharisee conflict there, right?
Obviously, I have a special place in my heart for the woman with the issue of blood, and I was liking how they were building it up for the most part. Like, but then even, like, this is another example of it. Like, when after he healed her, they talk so much in that circle.
Yeah.
All he had to say was, I know you, and your faith has made you whole. And then he moves on. And then we're just left with her or something. Like, that's all. That's all. You cut out 10 minutes of that scene, and it would have been great. Like, I liked it. Like, I was liking it. And then it's like another one. It's like, no, just shut up. You know? It's like, and then they end with like that, what felt like 10-minute water party. Yeah. It's like, yeah, I know you're happy, but it's like... Can we do like 30 seconds? I don't know how long it was, but it felt like, it's like, holy cow, how many times, how long do we have to watch these guys throw water around? even Henrik, I remember saying, like, he even said to me, he's like, wow, this is a long scene. Yeah. Like, to summarize, they had great ideas. They did not they did not execute them. They bloated ideas that weren't very good and missed opportunities on expounding on good ideas.
Yeah.
They did that perfectly in the first two seasons, almost perfectly.
Well, and here's the thing. You knew they were on the wrong foot from the very first scene of this season. You know why? Because the brilliance of the finale of the last season, where they just like show him, he's already given the sermon to everyone, right? In this very personal, unique way, right? And the last scene of the last season, you just show him going out there. And you're thinking, oh, they don't have to show the Sermon on the Mount, right? Because he's already done it. We're just showing that he's going out to doing it and cut. Well, they couldn't help themselves. They had to like get preachy Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. They couldn't be different, right? They had to go out there and show like 5 minutes of preaching that we didn't need.
Because the story is the impact of the Sermon on the Mount, yes, not the actual impact.
It's sermon. Not the sermon. We all know the sermon.
Mm-hmm.
So, so I understand. Here's what I do understand. Making that decision and then having to justify it to stakeholders is hard, right? And even to people that like, no, I want to see this scene on film. Like, you've got to have the courage to say no. Yep. No, we're not doing that.
It's called killing your darlings.
This is the one like doctrinal thing I have a little bit of an issue with. So the end of the season is this hypothetical conflict between these different groups of people, right? Which I thought was just strange to begin with. Like, oh yeah, the missions just stirred up all of this conflict. I'll tell you what, in the past, when prophets go and preach to people, do you know who the conflict's directed at? It's directed at the prophets.
Yeah.
So the people just kill them. And then go on with their lives. That's how this goes. Mm-hmm. It doesn't like bring to the surface all of this other stuff, you know. But we know specifically that Christ didn't preach to Gentiles. He may have preached or done something to a Gentile, like a Roman soldier or something like that. He did not preach to groups of Gentiles. And we know that explicitly in the Book of Mormon, but we know it implicitly because of Peter and the unclean beasts, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, like, things that they should know, like, there's some things that you can say, okay, that might have happened. Probably didn't, but it might have happened. We know explicitly that that did not happen. Yeah. And they put it in there anyway, which kind of, like, irks me a little bit.
I remember Dallas making such a big deal with, like, he had some great interviews, even though I hate Dallas speaking. I watched some of his interviews with, like, he had an interview with like a rabbi and a Catholic priest and like, I don't know.
They all walked into a bar.
Yeah. Right. Like, and like a Baptist minister that he knew or something like that, or like a Baptist scholar. I don't know who it was, but,
right.
But it's like people that like, but they were all religious scholars and he was having a conversation with them about the historical accuracy of season one and how they've taken parts of like actual Jewish and, you know, Christian traditions and whatever, and put them into this context. And he made a big deal about how, like, wanting to do it as historical as possible, but also telling a fiction, like, you know, historical fiction story,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a narrative story with these historical elements. And so he made a big deal about that. And it's fine if you want to throw those things aside, but then you got to replace it with, like, good storytelling, which just didn't happen, unfortunately.
Yeah. So, season four, like, what do you want to see more out of season four?
I honestly don't know if I'm going to watch it.
What?
It depends.
Oh, geez.
I don't know. Like, I might watch it so we can still do an episode on it.
Like murder among the Mormons.
Right. Yeah. But
bust it out while you're at work.
Yeah. But I honestly, like, I don't have any desire to see the next season. Like, I'm kind of like, after that this season,
it just killed your entire interest in the series, huh?
It did.
You're not eager to see.
It was pretty bad.
That's like, you're not eager to see how they do some things. Like, I think this the season would like the conflicts that really worked, I think, were again the like where Jesus is, it's getting to the end, you know, his conflict with people, the people of Galilee, the conflict. I think that like Tyson is right. I think that one big opportunity they missed is you can feel the tension building between the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees, but you're not getting that.
The timeline's getting conflated because some things we mm-hmm. know pretty much have passed that they haven't talked about yet. Jesus hasn't cleansed the temple yet, and mm-hmm. they need to do that. But timeline-wise, we pretty much know it's already passed, at least in the Bible timeline. You know, there's things that are pretty significant that they haven't brought up yet. Might they still get them in there? Maybe. It depends on how much daytime soap they're going to put into next season. That'll kind of be my bellwether. I'm like, okay, if I watch the first episode and 30 minutes in, I haven't seen anything that's in the Bible, I know what I'm in for. Mm. You know, there's a few things they're alluding to that I think could be good. You know, so Gaius's son, is obviously yeah. going to be healed. I'm trying to think of another one that they've alluded to. There's going to be something with Shmuel and Jesus in the next one. I don't think they're just going to totally leave that hanging out there. So there's some things that are coming that they've started to build up. Other things I hope they leave, like I hope we've heard the last about that olive orchard. I really do.
And that's the biggest reason why I really right now as we sit, I have very little desire to see season four. It's like there's a lot, like I am interested in Gaius. Like there's characters that I love. I think Gaius is going to die. I think his storyline is a tragedy. Like he's going to do something redeeming and then die for it. If I have to wade through a bunch of crap to get to these little nuggets that I like, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this has definitely been a different episode from our other two. We've done two reviews. Just do a season two review?
No, we did season one.
No, we did season one.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Well, yes, definitely different tone. We will see what it looks like at the end of season four. Because
if we weren't going to do an episode without this podcast, I probably would say not watching season four.
Man, Burgess burned. This scorn is.
I know. I take this stuff so personally. Like I feel
feel like if you didn't love season one and two so much that season three wouldn't be so offensive to you.
Well, yeah. I mean, exactly right. Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
It's like,
I do.
It's
yeah. like
the chosen I feel is betrayed. Judas.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear your thoughts about the church's fines from the SEC. Is it a big deal to you? Also, are we off base on The Chosen? Did you like it? Can you get us to change our minds about the season? And what can you say to Burgess to give season four a chance? Please let us know. You can shoot us an email at blessedrefreshments123@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 801-810-9363 to have your thoughts featured on the show.
Please bless us to get home safely.